Welcome to the Events Innovator Show, where we explore the ideas and strategies that are transforming events. Get ready to unlock the secrets to creating extraordinary experiences. And now, here's your host, Phil Michon.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to another episode of the Event Innovator Show. Today, we are talking all about clarity, getting clear on who we are. And what I mean by that is who we are as we enter into conferences. Today's guest is Steve Woodruff, and he wrote the book on clarity. He's been talking about it for such a long time that people call him the king of clarity. But today, we're not talking about just clarity. We're talking about what it means to show up at an event and know who you are, how to introduce yourself, and get people's attention. So with no further ado, let's get on to this week's episode. I am super excited to be here today with a fellow author, and his name is Steve Woodruff. If you don't know him, he is known as the King of Clarity, and he is on a one-man mission to destroy the elevator pitch, and he wants to replace it with something that actually works, and he calls that the memory dart. And today we're going to talk all about that because I know most of you feel awkward about the elevator pitch, and Steve is ready to help us. So Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Phil, for having me here. Real pleasure to talk to you as always.
Yeah. So let's just start back to when you got this idea. Where did it come from?
Well, the elevator pitch concept, the idea of having a compact message, is good, but there's only three problems with the elevator pitch. Number one, nobody wants to talk in an elevator. Number two, nobody wants to be pitched. And number three, nobody's ever happy with their elevator pitch. Other than that, it's just fine. So
let me interrupt you. I've had some of my best connections in the world on an elevator, but there was no pitch involved.
There's no pitch involved. That's correct. So it turns out that the way our brains are wired, we need a much more compact message. We don't need a 60-second monologue. We don't need somebody to go into too much detail and then ask us for, you know, an appointment later on. So over the time that I have worked in communications through marketing and sales and social media, it's become clear to me that you really only have about 10 to 15 seconds when you first talk to somebody. The introductory moments are the make or break time, what I call the moment of opportunity. And if you don't hook someone's attention right off, you lose it. So I believe that the best thing we can do when we introduce ourselves is to have something that's not telling and not selling, but something that's compelling. And what's more compelling than an interesting story or an interesting little twist, something that makes a person say, huh, tell me more about that. So I train people to introduce themselves with something called a memory dart, and it makes networking and connecting so much easier and so much less awkward.
Yeah, even the way I introduced you, which, by the way, you wrote that, you gave it to me. But if you had said that, I'd want to know more. Like, what is this memory dart? What do you mean the elevator pitch needs to be destroyed? Like, you've already given me a couple things I'd want to ask you because you caught my attention with that statement. Now, let's step back for a second because you're doing this as a service to events. So That implies that me and all the others on this show who are listening, who organize events, who own events, should care about this. Right. Why should I care about what you're offering here?
Well, I'm a 40-year veteran of professional events and conferences on all levels. I have been a speaker. I've been a vendor. I've been an attendee. In fact, I have all the badges still. I have this massive pile of event badges. But one of the things I've done in my workshops, and I've delivered many workshops, one of them is on personal branding. And in the personal branding workshop, we go through an exercise of developing keywords and developing introductory messages and stories. And I've had people tell me, man alive, why didn't we do this at the beginning of the conference? It would make so much sense to teach everybody how to network with these little simple tools. And I thought, yeah, you're right. Why don't we do this at the start of a conference? Because for new people or introverts or others struggling with their message, if we could spend 30 minutes early in the conference, and I call it a pre-note to play off of the idea of a keynote, and develop a few simple phrases, it would make everything better for everybody. Because then people can say, well, what's your origin story? What's your success story? Or introduce themselves in a way that has a little twist that's interesting. And so I was at a networking meeting this morning, and I was talking to two complete strangers. And I developed memory darts for them right on the spot. And they were so grateful because they both had been stumbling around trying to introduce themselves. And for me, it's just as natural as breathing to come up with memory darts. I love doing it. And it builds confidence when you can introduce yourself in a way that you know people are going to say, huh, tell me about that.
Yeah, something you said just a few minutes ago about that first impression, or you've only got 10 to 15 seconds, or I've heard as few as 7 seconds, you know, to create a first impression. What you're doing here is making that easy. You give me confidence because I know what to say. I know what's kind of unique about me, and it's going to invite people to want to know more, whether right. they're my right fit or not. It gives me a chance to talk and engage in conversation and find that connection. So I think that's brilliant. I'm going to just tell you what I think as an event organizer, why I would care. The individuals, it's obvious why they would care. They're going to feel less awkward. They're going to be able to make better connections. Flip that around. I know as an organizer, number one, people are coming to the event first for the content, but really they're coming for the networking. Because right. they can do the content online anymore. They come because they want to make genuine connections. But if they feel awkward, they're not going to do it, which means for me as the event organizer, they're less likely to come back. Right. If they have a great experience, which includes feeling connected, feeling part of the community, then they're likely to have a great experience, give me a great review, put their money down for next year and tell their friends, which is, that's what I care about as an event organizer. It's also going to make it more likely that they're going to be impacted by the event because now their guard is down because they feel like they're with friends, not strangers. That's anything correct. To add to that?
I think as an event organizer, one of the things you really want to see is you want to see life breathed into the event. And if early on you see a ballroom packed with people that are lively interacting with each other, because this is a facilitated session where somebody's turning to their neighbor and they're helping tell stories to each other. And you see that life when people start sharing their stories immediately and they get to know somebody right away, it energizes everybody. It turbocharges right at the start. But the other thing about this is not only does it have that energy that carries through the conference, these networking and introductory memory darts are things that go on beyond the conference into everything they do, all their professional introductions. Mm. So the very exercise is perhaps, in some cases, the most valuable takeaway from the conference before you even get to the keynotes.
Yeah, I mean, how many times in our life are we asked, what do you do? And I can imagine having something that's easy to say, that's going to say, oh, I get it. And that's interesting, because that seems to me the two measures there. You can't say something that's totally confusing, but interesting.
Right.
And vice versa.
And it's got to be something that's a little bit of a distinguishing. So if you say, I am a conference organizer or I'm a meeting planner, that's just a statement of fact. Okay. You're one of 100,000 of those. It doesn't do anything. But if you say, I'm the conference organizer with the saxophone, which is you, right. That is a distinguishing feature of you. It makes you memorable. And what we want to do is we want to capture something that's unique about the person and put that right in the intro, because that's what sticks in the mind of the other person. We're trying to move you from commodity to special. And the most special thing is some story or some unique angle that you have.
Yeah, I love that. You know, just, well, let me ask you a question, because you keep using this phrase memory dart and you haven't defined it. So what is a memory dart?
A memory dart is a very compact set of words that immediately grabs attention, turns the light on in the brain, creates instant understanding, and is really hard to forget. The term memory dart is a memory dart, because it actually suggests what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. The title, King of Clarity, is a memory dart. I don't have to give you a white paper of 15 bullet points. I just say King of Clarity, and it creates in your mind an image that's hard to forget. It turns out, Phil, and I've written two books on the subject of communication clarity, memory darts are not just for introduction. The best ways that all speakers communicate are with vivid, sharp images, pictures, illustrations, comparisons. Memory darts are the best ways to communicate. It just so happens that when it comes to networking introductions, it's also the best way to get to know somebody.
So I'm going to go back to my training as a preacher. And one of the things the comms professor said is illustrate, illustrate, illustrate. And I'm guessing that's what you're talking about, because people remember stories more than they do facts. And, you know, that's what they call it. Dialectic information is not what they remember. It's like, oh, that story you told about the guy who preacher who shaved while he's preaching. I will never forget that. And that's 40 plus years ago.
Well, that's why one of the stories I do, I have people develop in the pre-note exercise, is the origin evolution story. Everybody has an origin evolution story, and it has four simple parts to it. I started here. Then this happened, an interesting twist. We all have the interesting twist. Now I am doing this, and here's where I'm heading. That is absolutely unique. And so I'll say to somebody, when I went to Vanderbilt for college, I was going to be an astronomer. I was into all things space. Then I hit calculus and physics. And that was the end of that dream. And it turns out I love ideas and words, and I ended up being somebody that's full-on committed to clear communications. And here I am spending all of my life helping people communicate. I still love space stuff, but I'm not into formulas. That's my story. Nobody else has that story. And if I just gave you some sterile resume, it would be completely forgettable. But if you tell that story early on, or your background with training as a preacher or whatever, that makes you memorable.
Yeah. I've got so many of those that feed into who I am. It'd be an interesting exercise. And maybe we should do that as an example of what others could do on this call. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to step back for a second here is, you know, when you talk to an organizer about this idea of a pre-note, what's the resistance you get?
I have been shocked at I have had zero resistance and all interest. I'm shocked nobody's done this. Nobody's thinking about it. I can't believe that this is such a wide open need, because for me, it's an aching need. Now, the need for clarity, I've always seen with vendors who all blend together in an exhibit hall and don't have clear messages and clear selling and marketing messages, and that's been on my heart for decades. And also speakers who don't do a good job opening their speaking and aren't clear and don't get to the point, and that's a big piece of my clarity writings as well. But for attendees, they need to know how to be clear too. They need to know how to get to the point. And it turns out there are some pretty simple practices for that. It's just that nobody's thought to equip the attendees to be better communicators. And it can be done in a pretty short time if you aim at some very simple tangible little goals. And so I have not run into any kind of resistance to the idea. It's just a matter of thinking through how can we bake this in? Where should we put it? Should we put it the day before? Should we put it, you know, the first morning? In some people have thought, should we maybe put this before, like the week before, and have a virtual? Can be done virtual, not as effective. It's much more effective live. But there's all kinds of different ways to plug it in. It could be a combination pre-note, keynote. So it can be communications clarity keynote that includes developing messaging. Lots of different ways to put this in.
Why would it not be as effective to do it virtually a week in advance?
Because there's something wonderful about being in a live setting and turning to someone that you barely know or don't know, or maybe you do know, and telling your story live. You can actually do that in breakout rooms, and you can do it on the computer screen, but it just isn't quite the same.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have a funny story. I've taught about networking at a number of events. And one time I thought, you know what? Let's don't just talk about it. Let's do it. So about 5 minutes before the session started, I got up and said that. And I invited everyone in the room, turn to your neighbor and ask this question. I don't remember today what the question was because this is a decade ago. And immediately that life that you talked about started taking place. And within 3 minutes, the event organizer's coming in the room and yelling at me, stop this, it's too loud. And like, first of all, the session next door hasn't started. There is an air wall, it's not a firm wall. Yep. The sound was bleeding in and the people in that room were jealous, wondering what in the world is going on in that room. All right, well, walk me through. Oh, go ahead.
This spring, I've been to three different unconferences. So they are minimal number of speakers, minimal amount of structure, mostly networking and building community. It's been fabulous. The connections made there have had such an impact on my business and have created new opportunities and opened new doors. And that's, you know, this one of the reasons we go to a conference as attendees is to try to open new doors. Well, if we equip people to make valuable new connections, then we may open up whole new opportunities for them. And so I love the unconference idea with its emphasis that the biggest value is making the connections with people. And they're structured entirely for that.
It's interesting at Social Media Marketing World, where I've worked for 12 conferences, the first 3 or 4 years, we had a session similar to what you're describing, not exactly the same because we didn't help people develop their dart, their memory dart, but we asked intentional questions to get people talking to each other. And I can't tell you how many serendipitous stories came out of that, where just because they turned to the three people around them and they started a conversation, they realized this is someone I need to know. I even remember two ladies coming out and said, I just found my lifelong best friend. She was sitting next to me. And if you hadn't opened that door for us to talk, we would have never known. Yeah. So it's a profound exercise. Walk me through the questions that you would ask, helping people create their memory dart. What are you've talked about the origin story. Are there other aspects of this?
So the origin evolution story is one, and there's a very simple four sentence format. And I insist that it be, you've got to be able to get through it in 45 seconds. You've got to, you know, everything get to the point, quick, brief. And then the second story is your best success story. So your something that shows what you are great at, a success story that demonstrates your superpower. Because one of the things you want to do when you talk to people is you want them to know what you're great at so that they can refer you. So then you're going to share your success stories. And then another one, which kind of branches off from the origin story, is the coulda, shoulda, woulda story. So maybe in your case, you know, could have been a preacher, yeah, could have been a professional musician, could have been a whatever. And every one of these stories is highly relatable, even to a stranger. They open up doors because they demonstrate that life is full of twists and life is full of turns and regrets maybe, or, you know, I'm a recovering financial analyst. So what does that mean? You're a recovering and it's so much better than just trading job titles and trading resume bullet points because it's human. So you get those. And then the final thing is coming up with a little twisty phrase to help make it fun. So my son, my youngest son, is a drone pilot. He actually went to college, got a 4-year degree in unmanned aerospace, he's a drone pilot. And he goes and takes pictures with an outfit that documents the progress of construction sites. They take, like, go every week, take a whole bunch of pictures, drone or standard pictures. It's all uploaded to the cloud and all this stuff. He said, "Dad, you keep talking about, you know, memory darts." He said, my title is documentation specialist. And I said, "Oh boy, that's great, Seth." And I said, "Okay, how about this? When you introduce yourself to people, say, I get paid to fly drones and take pictures." You gotta ask, who pays you to fly drones, man? That sounds like fun.
Right.
Nobody's gonna ask what a documentation specialist is. You say that, I wanna run. But you've gotta put some little twist in there to make it interesting. And so if you can come up with a way to be compelling, especially to compel this, tell me more, you win the introduction game. So if you have a way to do that and you've got a few stories in your pocket, you're going to win. You're going to be a great networker, even if you're an introvert, even if you feel a little awkward, even if you don't know all the answers, you're going to win.
So are you suggesting that you share all this stuff at once, or are you sharing a phrase like what you just did? I'm a drone pilot who gets paid to take pictures. Is that like all you would say? And then you can follow that up, or would you?
Yeah,
would you
I'll usually have an opening. So it all starts with, as you said before, here's the question we all face. What do you do? So sometimes I'll just say, they call me the king of clarity. Okay. And they'll have to say, what's a king of clarity? And then I'll explain it a little bit and add a story or whatever. So the opener is just the way to get them to say, tell me more. And then you have room to tell a story, or you have a room to say, you know, just yesterday I was doing this, or most of my clients are kind of like this, and you're off and running. But here's the other part of it, Phil. Not only do we have these stories to tell, but I think the most effective strategy, and I tell people this too, the most effective networking strategy isn't storytelling. It's story asking. Oh, if you ask people their stories, you absolutely become the best networker in the room. And as an introvert, this is how I learned how to network. I just interview people. I just ask for stories. And then when they tell me, I ask more. So I ask for origin evolution stories all the time. And I give people this one shortcut always works. So what's your current title, Phil? What's the title on your business card if you have one?
Director of Experience.
Director of Experience. Okay. So we introduce ourselves, Phil, Director of Experience. I say, Phil, I'll bet in your high school yearbook, when it talks about your future, you did not put in there, I aspire to be a Director of Experience. Tell me how you got from there to this. Yeah. And I'm all set. That's the only question I need to ask. I'm all set. You're off and running. And then I just ask clarifying question. Tell me about, well, how'd you get, well, what about that? How'd you meet Mike Stelzner? Well, you know, and you can get somebody talking for 45 minutes and they suddenly realize, I don't know anything about you, because everybody wants to tell their stories. So
right.
If you have a few stories in your pocket and you ask stories of people, you're a fantastic networker.
I love that. I love that. So let's just demonstrate with you. So what would you say as you started? Would it be the King of Clarity thing, or would it be something else?
It depends on the situation. I think lately, though, I've been going after the elevator pitch one. So I've been I'm Steve Woodruff. I'm on a one-man crusade to destroy the elevator pitch in favor of something that really works, something I call the memory dart. Someone will say, what's that? I'll say, look, elevator pitch idea, something small is right, but no one wants to hear your monologue. Don't tell, don't sell. You need something that when you say it, the light goes on and they go, tell me about that. I help you develop that. When you market, when you sell, when you introduce yourself, the first few seconds are the whole game. I help you win the first few seconds. And then
we'll all right, so on. We're going to do a live coaching session.
Okay.
I'm going to let you teach me how to create mine, and this will be a demonstration. So I want you to explain what you're doing, why you help me, so that those listening will be able to do their own, perhaps as a result of you coaching me through mine.
Okay.
So start where you want to start.
All right. Phil, what do you do?
I am a visionary event architect who happens to also be a saxophonist.
Okay. Visionary event architect pushes me away. Okay. All right. I don't know what that means. That's too technical.
Okay. All right.
It's what I call a technically accurate description.
Okay.
But it's not warm. It okay. doesn't turn the light on. It scares me a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
So let's go after that. What do you mean by that? And merge into it this title, Director of Experience, because that's all part of it. What does that mean in plain English?
Yeah. So I build unforgettable experiences from start to finish with the improvisational skills of a saxophonist.
How does the improvisational skills of the saxophonist? I actually like both of those phrases. I'm trying to see how they go together. How does that go together?
Yeah, experience and event design requires you to be an improviser. And because you're constantly having to make adjustments, you're coming up with creative ideas. A saxophonist has to be able to fit into an ensemble and listen to the others and find their spot. So that's where the saxophone makes me unique, because I intuitively get that aspect. And then the experience, you know, okay. building. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So give me the first part again. The unforgettable part. Give me that phrase.
Yeah, I build unforgettable event experiences.
Okay. I build unforgettable event experiences, which requires two amazing things. A huge amount of planning and the ability, like a jazz saxophonist, to improvise on the fly. Because it does require both. It's planning and improvising.
Yeah.
And also, you got your key word in there, unforgettable. And that's one of your key words. As I know, we have a history, so I know that's one of your key words. And we want that word in there, because that, unlike visionary architect, unforgettable is a word I can relate to. It has yeah. emotional content. It's positive. So yeah. that's how I would do it with you.
All right. Yeah, I like that. So I'm going to put my own spin on it. I build unforgettable event experiences that require two things: strategy and planning, and the improvisational skills of a jazz saxophonist.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And let all me right. play a piece for you right now. Then they won't forget you.
That's coming. That's coming. I probably yep. wouldn't do that as I talk to people in networking hall, but you never know.
Well, all you right. know, but here's one way to do that. Get yourself a miniature saxophone.
Oh.
Even put a little pin on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So do you see that penguin over my shoulder?
I do.
That penguin is my visual aid. And I tell people, you've got to stand out from the crowd in the way that you brand yourself, position yourself, introduce yourself. Right now, if you go into a conference hall, you are one of 1,000 penguins on the ice floe. You're yep. just a big, nobody knows who you are. You blend into the background. You're just another penguin going whack, 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 until you're not, until you find a way to differentiate yourself. So you've got to move from just another penguin to fill the saxophone guy with some way of planting a memory dart. And if it takes putting a little saxophone pin on there and just kind of pointing to it, awesome, because that's the thing that makes you unique.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I don't often think about the way that I dress and the way that I show up, but it would make sense to have some kind of icon. There's so many people that dress in a certain way when they show up at events. I remember it was just this week, someone was talking about Jesse Cole.
Yeah.
Founder of the Savannah Bananas. And he came to our conference 2 or 3 years in a row wearing his yellow tuxedo. And one of our MCs, this is where it was, he was talking about the fact that he met him the first year he was there. And this is before the Savannah Bananas were anything. Like, he was just in his first or second year out of the poverty where they lived at the Grayson Stadium when they first bought it because they had to sell their house. And, you know, but iconic. You will never forget the yellow tux guy. And now he's known all over the world because of it. So I think that's a really cool thing, just to have an icon that goes with the way you're introducing yourself. So I introduce myself like that. What do I need next? You talked about the origin story. Is that where I go next or what?
Sorry. So your origin story, depending on, and the beginning can be whatever. It can be childhood. It can be high school. It could be your first career. It can be whatever. So in your case, it could be, you know, it could start with the coulda, shoulda, woulda. I thought I was going to be a preacher, and I did this and this and this, and then this happened. And, you know, this was the change of course. And often we fall into a certain job because somebody said, hey, I think you want to, or a friend introduced me to, whatever it is. That's what makes it fascinating. And then I discovered that I love doing this. This is how those stories go. It's a journey of discovery. And so all you have to do is put in a couple of those little twists, and you've got a fascinating little journey. Now, you don't want to make it too long. Some people go through a ridiculous amount, 5 minutes worth of story, and then you've lost them. But the success story then that you have in your pocket is a tremendous illustration. So you might say, you know, back in, I'll just pick a date, 2017 at Social Media Marketing World. You know, we tried to do this brand new type of experience, and we decided we're going to roll the dice and do this. And it was kind of high risk, but man, the response was this. And we thought that, that'll never work again, but we tried it again the next year and it was even better. And you explain how the planning and improv worked. Because the success story, so all of it is reinforcing the message. So you're deciding on your message, and then your other memory darts are reinforcing the message.
All right. So so many stories come to mind that don't think they're all relevant. But it was 2009. We were right in the middle of the Great Recession. I was in San Diego working for a church and a school simultaneously. School couldn't afford to keep me on, couldn't afford to live on what the church was paying for me. And now all of a sudden I'm without a job. I had known Mike Stelzner for 3 years, and he says, Phil, I've got an empty office. Do you need somewhere to go? And I said, yes. And then the next day he says, Phil, do you want some contract work? And I said, yes, my family likes to eat. And 2 years later, he hires me to be his director of summits. And the next year we decided to do the first conference. But it was years into the conference before I took a risk. And this is where we started to realize I have a gift and experience. I noticed, and this is a jazz saxophonist, I noticed there were a bunch of people who could sing and act. And I said, what if? The best thing you can do is say, what if we could put them to work and do a spoof on a Broadway musical in our show? And I didn't tell anyone, especially our CEO, that we were doing this. And so after his keynote was open or over, I got up and said, you know, every event does their housekeeping notes and those are boring. So we're going to do it in a little different way. I'm going to invite out my friend and she's going to give them to you. And then we ended up doing the truth on the Wizard of Oz. And at the end of it, everyone was on their feet giving us applause. People who had left the room early were regretting it. And I remember to this day, Marcus Sheridan came up to me, sales guy, and says, Phil, that was ballsy and it was great.
Yep. Okay. Now, that's an awesome story. And think of it this way now, in your event planner shoes, 1,000 people are in that conference hall. There are 1,000 success stories like that locked up there. Let's unlock it. Because the biggest energy that's going to come out is people telling their big success stories. That's what's going to light them up. And if we as conference organizers can let that energy out and get people telling those stories, it's going to be the highlight of the conference. Yeah. And so why shouldn't we? We want that energy. We want that excitement. We want those stories. We want that human connection. And when you say things like my family likes to eat or whatever, that just the humanity piece. It's, and here in this AI stuff and everything being artificial, we want more of that humanity. We want more of that uniquely human stuff going on. And this is the way to do it.
You know, one of the messages that I talk about is discovering your secret sauce, whether it's as an individual or as a company combined. And I think that's what you're doing here is releasing people's special stories, but finding a way to say it that's going to stand out. Like you said, from the penguins, I have a picture in my mind of a sea of zebras and you're the giraffe standing right with its head above it because each of us is that. So I love that you're kind of hitting this on a way that allows people to do it in a very tangible, small way at an event. So I love that. What have you've done this obviously at events? What have been some of the practical takeaways that you've seen or things that people have said about it or the organizers have told you after the fact?
Well, the energy level in the room is just astonishing. When you go through an exercise that touches on personal branding and, or messaging or, you know, strengths or that kind of thing, the energy is incredible because it's hitting people at their heart and soul level. And when they walk out with the confidence of saying, oh, I can articulate words that hit, it's really neat. So a lot of times people come to a conference and they think they're just going to be passively just getting a bunch of stuff. And all of a sudden they're walking out equipped. And that's totally different. And they're going to be able to use these messages and refine them for years to come. And so I've had a lot of good feedback, not only immediately, but after the fact that people keep using these darts and keep effectively introducing themselves. And turns out you're going to use this in job interviews. You're going to use this in basically any situation where you need to gain attention. Leadership, leaders have to communicate with clarity and simplicity. It's really for everyone. But I think as far as conferences go, to get the whole range of people involved, speaking, talking, getting to know somebody right away, and then having the tools to get to know others instead of the awkward, well, what do you do? To say, tell me your success story. Tell me your origin story. It's going to make it so much easier for everybody around the tables to just start talking because we've given them a format.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're not only helping people develop their darts, their memory darts, but you're also equipping them with what questions to ask that will draw the other person out. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, those are the stories when you do story asking. Those are the lead stories. Tell me about your greatest success, or tell if once things get better, tell me about your biggest failure. And, you know, tell me why you pivoted from this to that. And it makes it easier if you tell people, look, just be an interviewer. You're just interviewing people. You're just drawing them out. And it turns out that it's really kind of fun when you realize people want to talk, then, you know, it's not that hard to ask questions. And if you're talking to me about stuff, I've got 20 questions already buzzing through my mind. Like I could spend the next hour asking you about saxophone stuff. Do I know much about saxophone stuff? No, but I'd like to. I'm curious. And so
yeah, I love it.
You like it. So, you know, you'll love to talk about it. Okay, let's talk.
Well, this is super fascinating, Steve. And thank you, first of all, for coming on and explaining what it is. I do think this is something that would transform events. And like you said, it's a gift to everybody who comes and takes part, because now they can use this in all of their life, not just when they're at that one event. So, and I suspect that you've got it in a format that even like a speaker, as you said, could use this in developing their talks. Have you put it into a format that it can be used outside of the event, or is it really just something that you're currently doing as a pre-note, as you've called it?
I do this exercise on a one-on-one consulting basis. I do this in workshops. The pre-note is kind of a late addition. You know, I've been doing this personal branding and messaging for decades with people. It's just that I sort of woke up later on to the idea that this could be applied in mass situations, just as I've done it in workshops for a long, long time. It's the same stuff. And one of my brilliant friends, who's a marketer, I think you know Tom Martin. I was telling Tom about it, and I said, you know, it's kind of a keynote, warm-up, icebreaker, what I didn't know what to call it. And he said, call it a pre-note. And I said, dang, that's why I talk to smart marketers.
Well, this is awesome, and I'm going to give you a chance in just a moment to tell people how to learn more about it and follow you. But before we go there, you asked for saxophone. Whether you asked for it directly or not, you did ask for it. And so we're going to go there. I'd like to do my signature sign off, which includes you telling me three words. And you're the king of clarity, so this shouldn't be hard for you. But three words that stand out from our conversation. Make them all emotional if you can, or at least one.
Okay. I would say energy, warmth, and excitement.
Steve Woodruff, it has been fantastic to have you on this show. Tell everybody where they can learn more about you and where your favorite social platforms are for following them.
Well, I can be found, not surprisingly, at stevewoodruff.com. And most of my social platform stuff is on LinkedIn. So if you search for Steve Woodruff or King of Clarity on LinkedIn, you'll find me there. That's where I do most of my sharing. On stevewoodruff.com is also a blog. And there I put a lot of clarity stuff. And then on Amazon are my two books, which are called Clarity Wins and The Point. We haven't really gotten into the AI discussion lately, but one of the most exciting things I've been able to do in the last 6 weeks is create a Steve bot, an AI bot with all my writings. And it has become my co-conspirator, co-consultant to streamline my work and speak in my voice and analyze large amounts of information. And man, it knows how to do memory darts. It's awesome.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. Steve, if someone wants to know more about the Prenote, should they email you, contact you on LinkedIn, or what should they do?
Yeah, they can email me, steve@stevewoodruff.com, or there's a contact form on stevewoodruff.com, or just DM me on LinkedIn, and I'll be happy to forward information and set up a time to chat.
Well, Steve Woodruff, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you again.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thanks for listening to the Event Innovator Show. Connect with Phil on philmachon.com and be sure to subscribe and never miss an episode.